calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting MerrittAssembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we are off and running here on a Thursday in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's modern worship. And we pray that you are having a glorious, fantastic, fantabulously thrilling Thursday right here where God has divinely placed you for such a time as this. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. I haven't said this in a while. We're two blocks north of 520. We're two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. We're two blocks to the east of Tropical Trail, two blocks to the south of Merritt Avenue. If you've got a GPS, you can find us. Just type in 165 N period Grove Street. It will bring you right there. Sunday mornings at 10:30, Wednesday nights at 7, and we would love for you to come and be a part of what God is doing. We believe that he's going to do great things in 2023, and we want to be a part of that. So we would like to say thank you to the folks of Weirich Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H. The reason I spell that out is somebody asked me one time, how do you spell Weirich Air? And so I said, I need to spell that. W-E-I-R-I-C-H. They are based in Rockledge, Florida, and they have been providing professional sales, services, and repairs for over 40 years. They work in the air conditioning field, the heating field, which you need on Tuesdays this year, and the electrical field. So they've been solving all of those problems for over four decades, going on five decades now. They work in residential settings, some light commercial settings, and for their customers, they even provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible and an affordable price. So before you find yourself in need of their services on an emergency basis, give them a call. Write this number down so you can have it available. Get yourself established as a customer, and I can tell you, we've been a customer of theirs since before the Refresh radio program. They have just been doing great work. They love Jesus. They are a blessing to the body of Christ here in Central Florida, and they will be a blessing with their professional skills as well. 321-632-9538. That is Weirich Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H. 321-632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So as we are continuing our study of what lawlessness looks like, we're here because of Matthew chapter 7, verse number 23, where Jesus said, "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." That has taken us to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse number 9 was where we were yesterday. It says, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all powers, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but who had pleasure in unrighteousness." So I want to start just by reminding you yesterday that just because signs and wonders and things are taking place doesn't mean that all of that is being done to the glory of God. So we need the spirit of discernment. We need the word of God, and we need to be surrounded with godly counselors who can keep us from being deceived, because that is what is being talked about here in verse number 10, is unrighteous deception. So this verse here, when I was researching it, caught me unawares. It caused me, when I was looking up the meaning of the words, and I tell people this all the time. I had somebody that asked me one time, they said, "Why do you make the word of God so complicated when you go and you start talking about the original meaning of the words?" Well, we live in a day and time where people are taking the verbiage that was written over 200 years ago in our Constitution, and they're redefining those terms and then using the redefined terms to claim constitutional privileges that the founding fathers never, ever intended to be taking place. So we end up with all sorts of societal adjustments that are made, and then you have a Supreme Court that says, "Yep, that's the way it reads." And if you went back and looked at the original language, it's the exact opposite of what they were trying to communicate. So now we have a federal government that is really powerful. When originally, the states had a great deal of rights as well. So a similar thing has taken place in biblical language. And every once in a while, I find myself falling victim to the same mindset. So when I use a word at church, I try and explain what that word means. So if I talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm talking about the good news of Jesus Christ, because that's what the word gospel means, is good news. So Jesus Christ is not bad news, he's good news. So I'm reading this passage, and I come to verse number 10. And it says, "With all unrighteous deception among those who perish." And I read that, and I come to the word unrighteous. And I said, "Well, I know what the word unrighteous means. It means not righteous." And that is true. But when I went to the Greek lexicon that explains to me the tenses and the usage of the verbs and all of the different ways that it's translated and all of that sort of stuff, when I come to this particular passage and it pulls up the explanation of the word unrighteous, I'm assuming that I'm going to find not in right standing, that it would be deception that is causing people to not be in right standing with God. Except for what I find, and it is lined up with that to some extent, but this is what I wrote down from the Bible software, that when it comes to the word unrighteous, it is this: it's a sin that disrupts relationship with God, and it disrupts godly relationships. I'm going to read that again. It's sin that disrupts our relationship with God, and it disrupts godly relationships. And when I read that, it was like not a light bulb from the another bright idea from Ford commercial back in the 70s or 80s or 90s, whenever that was. It was like the entire solar system lit up, and it was like, Lord, have mercy. So where normally we go through, you know, a section, I don't know today if I'll get past just the first four words. Because our society is plagued with people whose actions are disrupting relationships. I think I've told you about several years ago, I was at a driving range. I hadn't played much golf. I was going to play some golf, and so I just stopped and I hit a bucket of balls, and there were two guys that were there on the driving range as well, and they knew one another, and one of them was describing what he wanted to do with his tax refund money, and his wife wasn't in favor of that, and so his buddy was trying to give him advice on how to circumvent what his wife was wanting. And I'm hitting buckets on the golf, you know, there on the I'm hitting golf balls on the driving range, and the pastor lights are just boing, 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 boing. That's, you know, my creative mind going, it's like, that sounds like a surefire way to destroy a relationship. I wish that I could tell you that I was just an observer to people who have done things through the years that disrupted relationships, but I can't. And so when I ran across this, you know, actually what I'm getting ready to tell you is there is a tactic of the enemy that keeps people from studying their Bible too much, because the Bible says to whom much is given, much is required. And people say, well, I don't want anything required of me, so I want to stay ignorant of what God's word has to say. I want you to know that's foolishness. It's straight out an ungodly tactic, because you and I have access to the materials, and whether we access them or not, we can still be in violation even if we don't know. Back when they taught civics in school, when I was growing, that was government, they said that ignorance of the law was no excuse for the law. I said, what does that mean? It says, even if you don't know about the law, you can still be held responsible for breaking the law if you broke the law. And the same is true for the kingdom of God. Sin is still sin, whether you know it's sin or whether you don't. There's a lot of people that don't know the specifics, but there are a lot of people that know that they're not lined up with God's word. So here I am, and I'm studying, and I come across this definition that sin disrupts relationships, and the Holy Spirit starts convicting me. Lest you thought I was perfect, let today be full recognition and full acknowledgement, confessed here on the air on January the 12th, 2023, Bob Arthur's is not perfect. And I had some relationships that in order to fall in line with the simple communication of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 10, I had some relationships that were disturbed. And, you know, when that's the case, you've got one of two possibilities. One is you can say, well, it's all their fault. Or two, you can say, God, what's my part in this? And I always choose the former. Now, in personal history from dealing with lots of people, I normally find that problems are generally not one-sided. They can be, but most of the time there are contributing factors on both sides. But if I've got one side that is disrupting the relationship, then I have to own that. I can't explain it away. I can't excuse it away. I can't ignore it away. It has to be dealt with. It has to be repented of. It has to be confessed. And you have to ask for forgiveness. And so that's what I did. And when that happens, you have just made yourself vulnerable. What if they don't forgive you? Well, that's their responsibility. Your responsibility is to repent of any unrighteousness that is disrupting behavior. Now, this may not just be words. This could be actions. You could have an addiction that is disrupting your relationship because it's taking your time and it is taking your finances away from your relationship. That would be disruptive. Pride could be a disruption to your relationships. There are people who have sexual temptation. Let me tell you, in spite of what the world has to say about them trying to redefine, what is normal in 2023, if you move beyond the Bible, I can tell you that it is going to be relationship disruption to the max if you start participating in immorality instead of honoring the covenant relationship, one man, one woman, married in the sight of God, living for the pleasure and the glory of God. That's the plan and the purpose. And so you can look at things that are areas of temptation, and I won't need to provide a list for you. Just use this as a litmus test. What is this going to do? First and foremost, how is this going to impact my relationship with God? You go back to the Garden of Eden, and you are going to find that Adam and Eve, partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, severely disrupt their relationship with God. It forever altered that. It didn't destroy the relationship, but it made that relationship a lot more complicated, a lot more painful. And it came with a lot of consequences. Because of that sin, physical relationships change. The relationship between Cain and Abel was disrupted. And there's been disruptive behavior with people ever since. So many people would look at unrighteousness and and they'd kind of just, oh, well, it is what it is, not realizing that until we deal with any unrighteousness in our life, every dynamic of relationship that we have is going to be disrupted. If you're not honest, it will disrupt your relationship with the government. It will disrupt your relationship with your customers. It will disrupt your finances. There is a tremendous, tremendous tsunami of devastation that is completely avoidable if we would just live in righteousness before God. Now, honestly, I was coming to talk about lawlessness, and I don't operate with lawlessness in my life. I've got people that I'm accountable to that, you know, they keep an eye on my financial obligations that I have in some areas of my life. I've got people that are accountable to my stewardship. There's all sorts of levels of authorities that I have in my life, and I'm thankful for those. A friend of mine told me, he said, you know, the generation that is coming up, they don't want to have anything to do with any organized church activities. They just want it to be organic. Well, there are certain parts of the kingdom of God that I think should be organic. Evangelism should be organic. Love for one another, that should be organic. Love for God, that should be organic. But I'm telling you that the older I get, the more value I see in relationships. If you don't believe me, go and look and see how many people in American society, even though they've got, you know, social media friends and things like that, go and look and see how many people are lonely because sometimes a sickness or a disease came in and it disrupted their life, and now they're alone in a rehab center, surrounded by people, but all alone. And I look at it and I say, I want to live righteous, because I want my relationships to be where, like, iron sharpens iron. Here in the month of January, we resume our Iron Men breakfast. And that title is simply because it's a men's breakfast, but we want to be the type of men that sharpens one another, where we make one another better. It's where we can come and, you know, because of relationships that we have in the body of Christ, that righteous behavior allows us to pray for one another for healing. So today, as I'm here, verse number 10 talks about that, you know, the coming of the lawless one, and is according with the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Unrighteousness is a deception. It's designed to get you to believe a lie. It functions, it thrives in people who are not on the road to life. They don't know it yet, but they're on the road to destruction. Deception, you know, we talked about pride. Let's talk about lying. If you want a disturbed relationship, then don't tell the truth. And all of a sudden, when that lie is uncovered, there's going to be a price to be paid. There's going to be a disruption. whether it's a work, whether it's political, whether it's relational. Let me just encourage you, don't let deception into your marriage relationship. Let that place be a haven of truth. Let it be a place of righteous behavior. Because, listen, I don't want this, I don't want to be the cause of a bunch of spiritual collateral damage because I did the devil's job for him and I made his job easier. I don't want to do that. I want to make his job as hard as possible. I want to encourage people to have behavior that doesn't disturb relationships. It heals relationships. Because whenever you are about the ministry of reconciliation, then you're not on the path of destruction. Then you're on the path to life. You're on the path to God. Listen, righteousness will result in a healthy relationship with God, and it will result with a healthy relationship with everyone around you. Brevard County needs more righteous behavior. Our churches need more righteous. Listen, the devil is using every tool at his disposal to try and compromise biblical standards, not outside the church, but inside the church. I tell people, some of the early church fathers, would Martin Luther recognize the Lutheran church? I don't think that he would. Would John Knox recognize the Presbyterian church? You know, it was him that Mary, Queen of Scots, said, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the assembled armies of Europe." I don't know if he would recognize the modern Presbyterian church. I don't think that John Wesley would recognize the modern Methodist church. And lest you think that I forget the Assemblies of God, our Pentecostal pioneers, I'm not sure they would recognize our modern Assembly of God churches much easier. I think that they would have difficulty recognizing the church. Sometimes we've gotten so far away that we don't even know how far we've wandered. Let's get back to the Word of God. Let's get back to righteousness, a righteous nation, righteousness exalts a nation. People rejoice when righteousness is on the scene, and I want that for your life. I want you to have healthy relationships, both at home with God and in the community. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Beyond my reach, I've been here on this island.